Last week, today, throughout all of our sessions, including this evening, we'll be spending 3 hours in the area of women, and so this is designated Ladies' Hour. All drinks are half price for the ladies. Okay? So let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. The subject of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, revolves about what we will call the ideal woman. And in introduction, we want to say several things about it. First of all, we should say something about the structure of this poem. The structure of this 10 through 31st verse is formed off of an acrostic. An acrostic simply means that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet and there are 22 verses in verses 10 through 22. Each verse starts with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet. For example, the Hebrew alphabet goes Aleph, first letter, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, and so forth. And forming this poem as an acrostic simply means that verse 1 begins with an Aleph, which is really not verse 1, it's verse 10. Verse 10 begins with a word that is spelled with an Aleph, verse 11 with a Beth, verse 12 with a Gimel, verse 13 with a Daleth, on through the entire 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It would be simply like taking an English idea and writing a poem with the first line beginning with A, the second with B, the third with C, the third with D, the fourth with E, and the fifth with F, and so forth throughout the whole entire thing. So it is a structured type of poem. The characteristics of this woman are enclosed between verse 10 and verses 30 and 31. The characteristics of the woman are between verse 10 and 30 and 31. So that we could think of those verses as a cradle that hold her characteristics. So that on one end you have verse 10 and on the other end you have verses 30 and 31, which cradle verses 11 through 29, which give us a series of characteristics of what this woman is like. Now, in the introductory part, we have some of the chief statements on which the entire section rests. So, let's simply say we start with some basic statements. We have the structure, which is an acrostic, and then we have the basic statements of the passage, and the statements are three. Number one, the author dwells on the rarity. And we'll box that off because that's an important word. The rarity of the ideal woman. Now let's stress also one other thing. I have put in here the ideal woman. And when we do that, we're doing that in order to stress the fact that there is no such thing as the perfect ideal that fulfills the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. That's not unusual. If you know anything about the Word of God, you know that it inevitably describes from the standpoint of the ideal. Keeping your finger here, go to 1 Timothy 3, and it's easy to exhibit. 1 Timothy 3. And in 1 Timothy 3, you have some of the description of the requirements of the overseer in a local assembly. And you begin in verse 1, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach. Question, who, therefore, qualifies? Where is the man around that you know that is absolutely above reproach? And you begin to immediately find out that if we're going to apply this in the absolute sense of the word, that you have nobody who qualifies and everybody must resign and quit. However, you look at the passage from the standpoint that it is above reproach, is describing the ideal, and therefore we want to look at those who approach the ideal position in this particular section. And therefore you have all passages of Scripture that will talk about a wife, and it will describe her from the standpoint of the ideal. And therefore we ought to keep this in mind, because I realize that it could have a bad spinoff that some of you young men that are single could listen to what is taught today, and by the end of tonight, when we go through 3 hours, you will have decided that you are going to find nobody out there that meets all of these qualifications. And you're absolutely right. But that is not the intent of the passage. The intent of the passage is to set up the ideal so we'll have something whereby we can compare. So notice the third emphasis, going back to Proverbs 31, is the rarity of the ideal woman. And that is expressed in the following words. Verse 10. It says, an excellent wife who can find. And what is he simply saying? He is simply saying that the excellent wife is a rarity. Now, a couple of things about the words. First of all, the word wife. The word wife, as far as the Hebrew word itself is concerned, is broader than wife. It is the word in Hebrew that means woman. You would say, therefore, well, why in this context then that they translate the word for woman in a narrow sense, namely by the word wife? And the answer for that is very simple. If you look at the total context of verses 10 through 31, the woman that he's talking about has a husband, and the woman he is talking about has children. Consequently, we know that the woman of Proverbs 31 is also a wife, and consequently our translators have given us that. However, we ought to keep in mind that it's a broad word, and what he is talking about is the word for woman in a broad sense. So, an excellent woman who, parentheses, in context is married and has children, an excellent woman who can find. The second idea is the expression, she is described as excellent. Now, what is the flavor of the Hebrew word for excellent, the Hebrew word chayil? The Hebrew word carries in it two ideas, and they're both very important to describe the kind of woman we're talking about. The first idea is it carries the idea of strength. And as we'll find out in context, it is going to be strength of character. Now let me give you the passage that deals with bare, raw strength in a literal sense. And that passage is Psalm 33 and verse 17. Psalm 33 and verse 17 uses this same word, which is translated excellent. And you'll see in it the idea of strength. In the context we're looking at, it will be physical strength. Chapter 33 of Psalms and verse 17. It says, a horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great, and there is our word, strength. And that is the same word that is translated excellent wife in Proverbs chapter 31. And obviously here in the psalm, the strength involved is strength physically. And I think maybe by the time you read through Proverbs 31, 10 through the end of the chapter, you'll probably say a woman to function like this would have to have the strength of a horse, literally. But that's not his point. The point is it means strong in terms of character. So we're talking about the excellent woman, or the woman who is strong in character. So put the idea of strength of character in here. That's the kind of woman we are describing. A second idea involved in the word excellent is the idea of ability and capability. Ability, capability. Carries the idea of ability and capability. And for that word, or an illustration of that idea, look at Genesis 47 and verse 6. Genesis 47 and verse 6. taking time to look at what the excellent woman is, what is meant by this idea, coming off of the meaning of the word for woman and the meaning of the word for excellent. Excellent means strong in character, and excellent also means able, capable kind of person. In Genesis 47 and verse 6, Pharaoh is speaking to Joseph, and he says, "The land of Egypt is at your disposal. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know of any," and here's our word, "capable men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock." In other words, if you know of any men that have the ability to manage, to feed, to raise livestock, then put them in charge of my cattle. And therefore, you have two ideas then in the word, and it's the idea of strength, of character, and the idea of ability. Now, let's take that back to Proverbs 31 and notice the kind of person that he's talking about. Now, I have no quarrel with the translation that says an excellent wife, and yet at the same time, would you have read into that word excellent, strength of character? Would you have read into that word excellent ability and capability? Probably not. So, verse 10. A capable and strong woman. So there is what we're talking about. And let's put this as a caption over the entire 31st chapter, the last half of it. He is talking about the strong and capable woman. The strong and capable woman. And she is described in 31, 10 through 31. Let's box that off so we'll understand the kind of person that we're looking about in this chapter. And that ought to be doing two things for us. Number one, if you are a woman, you ought to set your sights on being a strong and capable woman. And if you're looking for a wife, then you ought to know what are the characteristics that I'm going to be looking for in this strong and capable woman. And I notice again the overhead projector is faded, isn't it? Isn't that much dimmer than it used to be? Huh? Oh, does it? Okay, maybe it's me. Okay, it just looks to me like it's faded or washed out compared to what it usually is. Okay, so we're simply saying is when you look at the strong and the capable woman that is described in this chapter, what is the first remark about that? Well, it's verse 10, a strong and capable woman who can find. And so the writer of Proverbs begins by saying that this woman that I'm going to describe is quite a rare kind of person. And that's the first statement about her. The second statement about her is going to talk about the value of the ideal woman. First statement is the rarity of. The second statement is the value of. So verse 10, she is rare, a strong and capable woman who can find. And then a statement about her worth or her value. For her worth is far above jewels. And we want to emphasize that the value of this woman spoken here does not lie in her skills. It does not lie in her physical appearance. It does not lie in her education or in her gifts, but it lies in her personal character. So the value of the ideal lies in personal character, not in talent, not in training, but in personal character. It lies in what she is. And by means of an illustration, she is far above pearls or far above jewels. Incidentally, you might want to do what I have done. I've taken the word excellent that we did a little word study on that talks about being strong and talks about being capable and go down to verse 29. In verse 29, her husband makes a statement about her in conclusion and says, "Many daughters have done nobly." See the word nobly? That is the word excellent. And I have taken, just so I'll tie it together, remember we said that these closing verses and the first verse form a cradle in which all of the section lies. And I've simply drawn a line from the word excellent in verse 10 straight down to the word nobly in verse 29 and noted that is the same word in the Hebrew text. So he says, many daughters have done excellently. And since there are two translations in our English Bible, it's easy to miss the fact that the excellent wife is in verse 10 and it is recognized in verse 29 that she is just that, nobly and excellent, same word. All right, we have had something then about the rarity of her by way of introduction, something about the value of the ideal woman, and now we have number 3. What is the secret of this woman? What is it that lies at the heart of the ideal woman that is so important? And the secret of the ideal woman lies in where her strength does not lie, and then positively where it does lie. So let's put, first of all, it is negatively where it does not lie, and that is in 31:30a. Here is where her strength is not. All right? Chapter 31 and verse 30. We'll have a negative and a positive reading the verse. First of all, here is where her strength does not lie. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But, positively, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So first of all, where the ideal woman, where her strength does not lie, and where her greatness is not. It says, charm is deceitful. First of all, commenting on each of the words that are important throughout here, first of all, the word charm. The word charm refers to physical appearance and form. It refers to physical appearance and form. It's referring to her physical body. And it's simply saying her physical appearance and her physical form are deceitful. And that word deceitful is also important because it has with it another flavor. It's not only used for being deceitful, it's also used for something that is disappointing in the Old Testament. Something that does not meet expectations. You can see the connection between being deceiving and also being disappointing. Anything that's deceitful is also disappointing. Because if it's deceitful, it creates expectations. You know, here is this cream that if you put it on your face 5 nights a week, it will take 10 years off of your face. And you find out that after 5 nights, it doesn't do it. It doesn't do anything at all. It has deceived you, and consequently, you're also disappointed. And therefore, anything that is deceitful is also disappointing. And therefore, he simply says in verse 30 that charm, the physical form and the physical body, is deceitful. It creates illusions that are not really there. Then the next expression that says beauty is vain. And we should say something about beauty. The word beauty, we have an expression of saying beauty is only skin deep. And that expression really catches the flavor of this word in Hebrew for beauty because it does refer to that part of her which is only skin deep. It does refer to that which is only external. Now, how do we know that? Well, let me give you a usage of it that takes this word for beauty and portrays a woman that has it. She is beautiful, but she has no sense. And we've been to it before. It's Proverbs 11, verse 22. And this will be the same word. It will talk about a woman that has beauty, but it is only skin deep. Chapter 11, verse 22 says, as a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman. And that's our same word. And notice in this context, the beauty is only skin deep because she has no sense. It says, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. So notice it's a word that can be used for that which is only on the surface and that which is not deep. So back to our text in Proverbs 31. Charm is deceitful and disappointing, and beauty is vain. The word vain is also important because it is so colorful. The word for vain is simply a word that means breath or vapor. Beauty, the word for vain means vapor or breath. And what is the idea conveyed by vapor or breath? It's the idea of it is so transient. You know, just a puff. If you can think of cool weather when it's 100 degrees in Kansas City, as it is, I guess, approaching today, if you can think back when you go out in the cold and you breathe out and you get this little puff of vapor that's there, that's beauty. It's transient. Or the idea of being vapor is the idea is it's passing. It doesn't stay around. It's temporary. Or could we put it a different way? Beauty is poof. Physical attractiveness is poof. Now, let's park on that for just a second. When you begin to think about that, what is the first thing that attracts a man to a woman? Poof. Right? I'm not saying that's wrong, but the first thing that attracts a man to a woman is her physical appearance. Nothing wrong with that. God planned it that way, and that's perfectly legitimate. But it is well to have set in our mentality that look at her, that little neat waist, that's poof. That neat little figure that you dwell on, that's poof. And that face with no lines in it, that's poof. And that's important to isn't it strange that the first thing to which a man is attracted in a woman is the first thing she loses? And I simply put that as part of our mentality because we happen to live, and there's nothing wrong with, I appreciate it. Very, very, I love poof. But you got to fix it. You know, poof is poof, and it's not something to build a life on. Okay, I think we made our point enough. And the point is, this woman has something much more than that. And therefore, we move in the last part of the verse, 31, 30b, to what she has that is not poof. What she has that lasts and is permanent. And this is, therefore, where her charm does lie. Now, again, I realize that today in what we're doing, we're capable of all kinds of extremes. And one of the extremes we're capable of here is for a woman to get hold of this, or a man to get hold of this and say, well, if she loves the Lord, there she stands with the greasies in her hair. She wears sacks for clothes, and she does not shave her legs. Her shoes are worn out, and all of those other characteristics, she is still using Chanel number 5 and what have you and so forth. And this is all okay because she is a woman that loves the Lord. I have a personal feeling, and maybe it's subjective, but it was expressed many, many years ago by the founder of Dallas Seminary, Lewis Sperry Chafer. And he made the remark that if you are controlled by the Spirit, you won't wear a dirty shirt. And what he was saying was simply this, that if the inner man is put together in the right way, it's going to announce itself on the outside. And let's face it, we all announce our opinion of ourselves by the way we look. When you have a person who looks like they left the house in the morning and say, clothes, come on and follow me if you can, they're announcing something about how you feel about yourself and what your self-image is. And therefore, there ought to be a coordination between the two. The point that he's making here, and we'll see also made in 1 Peter 3, probably this evening, is the idea that there ought to be a correspondence. This woman, by the way, is going to dress very expensively. I don't know that most of us could afford her, because she is going to be dressed in linen and purple. And that was used for the dress of the most expensive royalty. So she's going to be dressed expensively, but it's going to be modest, it's going to be appropriate, and it's not going to be simply a outside clothing that has nothing on the inside. If there's nothing on the inside of the person, it's simply like gold plating a garbage can, where it's beautiful on the outside and it looks very nice, but there's nothing on the inside of any value except old banana skins. And it is very possible in the New Testament and the Old Testament. We'll deal with the fact in talking especially to believers and women in New Testament times, is simply say, don't gold plate a garbage can. You are to be beautiful on the inside, and that is where it resides. And therefore, both is important. But notice she has something very much on the inside, and that's in the latter part of verse 30. It says, a woman who fears, and remember, that is the keystone to the book of Proverbs, fear of the Lord, or respect for God's authority, she shall be praised. So here is where every woman must start if she is to have the qualifications of this chapter with respect for the Lord, and here is what every man should look for as far as a woman is concerned. So we've had three things then, her rarity, her value, and the secret of the ideal woman. And now let's begin to break her down, and we'll look at her from four standpoints. And we'll put her in categories, because in going through chapter 31, I can see that she is broken down into being a good woman in four areas. Number one, we have her goodness simply as a woman. Our first category will be her goodness as a woman. First category will be her goodness as a woman. And that will be from scattered verses. We will look at her today in the following four categories. Her goodness as a woman, her goodness as a wife, her goodness as a mother, and then finally her goodness as a neighbor. And then we'll want to do some work on not only how to be that kind of woman, but since we're a local assembly made up of parents, we'll want to do a little section of how can you develop your daughter. From the perspective of Proverbs 33, how can you develop her into being the ideal woman, the ideal wife, mother, and neighbor? Incidentally, you didn't think, or are not thinking, are you, that in verses 10 through 31, all of these qualities are there by chance? These just happen to be there, happenstance type of thing. These things are not in a woman by chance. They are there by virtue of two things. Number one, her training as a little girl, and number two, by her own self-discipline that develops those ideas, and therefore it'd be well worth it, especially if you have a little girl or a daughter, to learn how can we inculcate the values that will make her be this kind of woman, and that can be done, and we'll want to look at that today. So the first thing we want to say as far as her goodness as a woman, and these will be character traits, is number one, she is diligent. Characteristic number one, she is diligent. She is diligent. 31, 13, and 19. And let's go to Proverbs 31, 13 first. Expression of her diligence. Verse 13 says, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Now, how does this express diligence? In the first place, it says she looks for wool and flax. That indicates she wants to see that there is an ample supply of the wool and the flax. The wool and the flax is that from which clothing is made. It was important to the making of clothing. So she finds out that there is an adequate supply of wool and flax. That's simply saying she has insight, doesn't it? She's diligent. She sees what's coming. And as she gathers the wool and the flax, what does she do with it? Well, she works. And in the context, she works with the wool and the flax. We've got her now sewing and making garments. She works with her hands in delight. So we have three things that are involved in her diligence in Proverbs 31, 13. And let's simply list them out as A, B, C in our outline. Number one, she has foresight. She gathers her supplies. That's a little bit hard for us to identify with because in our days, gathering the wool and the flax, making it into cloth, measuring the person, then making the garment, that's not part of being a seamstress. In these times, you didn't have stores where you could go and buy or see big bolts of cloth. You made the cloth yourself. And therefore, you would go out and you'd find wool and you'd find flax. You would weave together your cloth from which you were making. And this woman has the foresight in verse 13 to go out and hunt for raw materials. So the foresight is simply a hunt for raw material. She's diligent. Doesn't wait for somebody to hand it to her. And then as she comes up with the raw material, she then makes garments. She works with her hands. And as she is gathering the flax, all the time she is mumbling, "If I had only stayed single. What a job. This is a dog's life. But I've got to do it." And as she makes the garment, with every stitch, she says, "Oh, I'm fulfilling my duty." You know, no, not anything like that. Notice in verse 13, there is an attitude that goes with all of this. She works with her hands in delight. So her mental attitude, this is a pleasure. It is not a duty. It is not a burden to be borne. It is not a cross to bear. It is a pleasure. And so notice with all of this is an attitude. This is picturing the woman. She's not satisfied just to get by. She loves it. She delights in it. Or how, what we would put, her goodness as a woman, she is a diligent person. Second passage dealing with the same thing is Proverbs 31 and verse 19. Notice, first of all, when we read verse 19, you have diligence very much in the context. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. And what is that describing? It's describing a diligent person. That's further emphasized by the last line of verse 18. Her lamp does not go out at night. She is diligent as far as her work is concerned. Notice throughout the passage, she is never idle. And that may be why someone has said, when we talk about the strength of a horse, back in our example of the word excellent, back in Psalms, she needs that. So notice her lamp, verse 18, does not go out at night. She is diligent. And she is so diligent that not only does her family prosper, but notice in verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. So she is so diligent that not only does the family, but others. So let's put family plus others benefit from her diligence. Ideal woman, the family and others benefit. All right, there then is our first statement of how strong she is as a woman. She is diligent in verses 13 and verse 19. The second thing we need to say about her is not only is she diligent, but she is disciplined. She is diligent. She has control of her life. She is disciplined. And that is essentially Proverbs 31 and verse 15. Incidentally, maybe we ought to make a statement at this time concerning fairness. We will also have not only the ideal woman, but we will also look at the son and the father within Proverbs also, so don't feel that this is all for women. All right, verse 15, she is disciplined. And I think you'll see in reading verse 15, could a non-disciplined person do what is in verse 15? She rises also while it is still night. Now let me say a word about rising while it is still night. Other than to go to the bathroom. Whenever we study God's Word, it needs to be studied in its historical context. And the thing that we ought to keep in mind is some of the advantages we have in the 20th century that they did not have. For example, if you were going from this building to your home in biblical times, and especially times of the Old Testament, and you were doing so at 11 o'clock at night, you would be facing a very formidable proposition, simply because you would not go along roads that were lined with street lights. There were no lights. And I don't know whether you can fathom going along a road, perhaps even unpaved, between here and your house, which is for me a matter of 5 miles, without any lighting when it's dark, especially on a pitch black night. Consequently, your work would be confined to the time when you had daylight. And therefore, if you were going to have efficiency in those times, you wanted to get up before the sun came up so that you could take the first advantages of the light of the day. And consequently, this is not teaching that if you're an ideal woman, you're up every morning when it is dark. It is simply saying that this woman had discipline enough to take advantage of all of her light hours and her waking hours. So, verse 15, she rises also while it is still night. And that obviously means she's in control of her life. She has discipline over her life. And gives food to her household and portions to her maiden. And notice, as a result of her self-discipline, the needs of the family is met. She is in control of her life. She is disciplined. Third, she is prudent. Third, she is prudent. Diligent, disciplined, and prudent, verse 16, verse 22, and verse 24. And we'll simply close this session now by saying, what do we mean by being prudent? By prudent, we mean skillful in managing personal affairs. Skillful in the management of her personal affairs. Or the idea of efficiency. Prudence or the idea of efficiency. All right, we'll stop at this point and we'll pick up with that in our next hour. Father, we're thankful for your word. We pray that as we study today the ideal woman, that those who are parents will recognize the importance of instilling the values of Proverbs 31 in our daughters. And we pray for our women. We pray that as the characteristics of the ideal woman are laid forth in your word, that those who are women might seek these diligently, and those of us who are men might help them and assist them and encourage them and pray for them to develop into this kind of person. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.